Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Podzilla 1985 Network proudly brings to you Pro Wrestling Unscripted. And here is your host, only the good die, Shannon Young.
How'd you know I wanted to die? It's like you've been reading my mind. Hey, happy birthday, America, good, by the way.
Happy birthday, America.
Yeah. Tomorrow. You make us America proud Day. With your heritage flags and your... No, you passed gay marriage, so congratulations. You did something right for once.
You know what I think is funny? On Friday, with so many places that were closed for the third because it was the fourth weekend, a lot of the places were the same people who will be like, oh, remember what the fourth is all about, y'all? Oh, we're closed on Friday. Why is that? What happened on Friday that you're closed for, you hypocritical bastard?
Well, they're in the spirit.
That's right. They got to have an extra day, an extra America Day.
Yeah. I love when the Chinese restaurants are closed on the 4th of July.
But they're not closed on Christmas. But
oh, and on that note, the gift that keeps on giving to my left, Zach Price.
Thank you.
Hello, Zach.
Thank you so much.
Good morning.
That is.
And of course, Double H Hunter Hendricks.
Hey, good to be here.
Here on this empty studio day, and I love it.
Oh, man. That's the one thing I'm bitching about, everything being closed.
Because it's the 4th of July, clearly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's important. It's good for us.
Yeah. And, you know,
makes us humble.
When I think of the 4th of July and I think of Independence Day, I think of the great American wrestler, the Patriot Del Wilkes. And I wonder what he's up to these days. I really do. I'm pretty sure.
Who's this?
The only good
he was
thing
the guy that had Kurt Angle's music before Kurt Angle.
I was going to say, the only good thing that came out of Del Wilkes was Kurt Angle's theme song years later.
Lex Luger.
That's pretty much it.
I much prefer Lex Luger. I never appreciated Lex Luger enough when I was a kid.
No, until he got paralyzed?
Yeah, I go back and watch the videos of him now, I go, man, that was a hoss right there.
Lex Luger is the Van Gogh of wrestling. It wasn't until many, many years later that he's still alive, right? He's still there.
Barely.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen him lately?
He's dead to me.
Have you seen him lately, wrestling?
No.
Did you know he's paralyzed for a couple years, right?
Yeah, I heard about that.
He has the arthritis hands where they're all crumped up, and he's like... So skinny.
I love
that you're doing arthritis hands.
As if people can see what I'm doing.
It's like Handyman from In Living Color.
I know. That's the first thing that came to mind. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, poor Lex Luger.
Those are bad.
If there was ever a symbol of don't do steroids, it's Lex Luger.
Yeah.
You know? Not everybody ended up as bad as him.
That's true.
Speaking of Lex Luger...
I don't know where you're going to go with this.
I'm not going anywhere with it. I actually meant to say, speaking of Kurt Angle, because we talked about him a second ago.
Yeah.
That's good enough for me. you know, he talked about that tumor.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a tumor. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the tumor is benign.
Right. But so, it's pressing on a nerve.
It's
is
pressing
that the
on
deal?
A nerve in his back that he's had.
And it's causing an atrophy in his arm, if I read correctly yesterday. So
he's going to be out for really 3 weeks.
Ugh.
And that's awful, man.
Yeah, that's rough.
You know, but I mean, it could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been
way worse. Good for good old EC3, though.
But it's amazing that he's had it since 2012 and he's never got it taken care of then.
Well, it's Kurt Angle. Is it really that amazing?
Yeah, this is.
But if you had a tumor, wouldn't you be like, fuck, there's a tumor? Maybe I should get this looked at.
Yeah, he also wrestled the Olympics with a broken neck.
Right.
You
didn't
broke what I'm freaking saying. Neck.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you didn't know, because he only tells you every freaking interview. Kurt, what did you think about what happened last week with Jeff Jarrett? Well, I wrestled with a broken neck.
You're getting to say freaking.
Freaking.
That's great, Kurt, but what I need to know is what exactly type of loan you're applying for. I don't understand why that has any relevance.
Sir, just answer the question. Lettuce or no lettuce?
Oh, man. But yeah, good old Ethan Carter III, new TNA world champion. Yep. How about that?
Who was the last world champion? Was it Kurt Angle?
Yeah, he won it from Kurt.
I don't know.
The last time I remember, who was that? Eric Young?
Eric Young was the last time I saw. Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I didn't see any of this. I'm just aware.
Oh, no.
Nobody has. That's the problem.
I don't know what channel Destination America's on yet.
Yeah.
I'm still searching for it.
I don't think it's going to matter. By the time you get there, it's going to be gone.
You finally find it, and you turn it on, and Dixie Carter's waving goodbye.
but then in a weird twist of fate, what are they showing in its place? TNA Impact will not be shown tonight. Instead, we have a special presentation of Beyond the Mat. just for Zach.
I still can't fucking find it.
He would turn it off. No, I have to have the DVD.
Yeah. Nah, if I can't get the bonus features, I don't want it.
Oh, man.
I like Ethan Carter III, by the way.
Yeah.
Which, he was, what, Derek Bateman
Derek Bates.
In WWE?
Yeah.
Derek Bates. Was it Bates or Bateman?
I think it's, Bateman. You're right. Derek Bateman.
And they did nothing with him.
Yeah, because Vince McMahon hates money.
Vince McMahon does not know how to book a good wrestling show anymore or make good characters.
Well, unfortunately, if I remember correctly, Ethan came up, or whatever you want to call him, came up at a time that Vince was still pretty much in charge of everything. Triple H hadn't really taken over NXT just yet, and so he just kind of came up at the wrong time.
Yeah,
or ended up in the WWE at the wrong time anyway.
Or at the exact right time. Because, I mean, even if Triple H got a hold of him, he never would have excelled like he has in TNA.
That's a good point.
You know, he's money now. It may be a big shark in a little pond.
Right.
But if he leaves TNA and goes back to WWE, his stock's going up.
Well, here's the really unfortunate thing. Let's play out the scenario that TNA does close, because it seems like they're constantly swirling the drain anyway.
Yeah.
If they do, you would think WWE would want to pick the guy up, even though they let him go. It's not like that's something that holds him back. But he's established himself so hard as this character that's so tied directly to TNA. It'd be just like if Ken Kennedy had been revealed as Vince's son and then went to TNA.
Yeah.
That would have worked for them. WWE's not going to do it the other way around. They're not going to bring in a guy, call him Ethan Carter, say that he's Dixie Carter's nephew, unless they bring Dixie in, and I don't think she would do it.
I would say, how great would that be?
Oh, yeah.
If Vince McMahon could, put his ego aside and bring in Ethan Carter as Ethan Carter with Dixie Carter's, and we used to run TNA.
Yeah.
You know, here we are in WWE now. You know, they used to do shit like that.
But let's
remember
Ric
Flair and the WCW, the NWA title when they came to WWF?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Let's even play that out further. Let's say Vince does put his ego aside long enough to do that and brings them in and really goes forward with the, they're from TNA. We're going to mention TNA on the air. They're going to get killed, man.
Oh,
it's just
going to
be the invasion all over again,
but with
two people. Yeah, it would be pretty brutal. So, like you said, maybe better off for good old Derek. I don't know what the guy's real name is. Is it Derek, maybe? Probably.
Ethan.
Ethan Carter III. Let him go to Japan like AJ Styles did.
Yep.
AJ's doing great for himself.
ROH, something. WWE's probably not your best option at this point.
No. It's nobody's best option anymore. Everybody used to want to work for the WWE.
Unless you're Finn Balor.
I still do.
He's still an NXT guy right now, though.
It's true, but he's just about to be NXT World Champion, if I have anything to say about it.
I completely see NXT and WWE as separate. I know they're not, but I feel they are.
I understand.
You know?
NXT, by the way, running a huge show this weekend I guess by the time this goes up, it'll have already aired.
I think I'll probably air this tonight.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It'll July be weekend.
A couple hours from now, then, because it's live from Tokyo, the first WWE broadcast.
They're
going to
be doing more of those, too.
Wait, yeah. I thought that was tomorrow. Is that today?
It's Saturday. It's happening Saturday.
Okay.
Yes.
So then tomorrow.
They're recording it tonight. You know, Lesnar's going to be on that show, too?
Yeah.
Japan, why is your time so weird?
He's doing live house shows now. For the network. Like
Japan.
Right. Let's be clear. This is their first live broadcast ever from Japan, from the Tokyo Dome. And it's a weird card. Have you guys seen what all they're doing
there?
I have not. I just know Kofi Kingston versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, Brock is wrestling against Kofi. I just assume that they just click. They just work together for some reason because they want to get Brock back on the card, and that's going to be a squash. That's going to be one of the first things that goes on. You've got Kevin Owens and Finn Balor for the NXT Championship. And call me crazy, but I guess we're doing kind of a quick prediction here. I think this is when Owens is going to drop the title.
You think Balor's going to beat Owens?
I do. And here's why. Because Balor spent the last year of his career, or years, before WWE in Japan.
Yep.
That's where he honed his craft. That's where he was known for. He went from there straight to NXT. So I think this is the big hometown win. Now, the only thing that dissuades me from that might not be the case, because Kevin Owens can afford to drop the NXT title.
Yeah, he doesn't need it anymore.
Right, his next match at a pay-per-view is at Battleground against Cena for the U.S. title, not the NXT title.
Right.
So this is where he can win that and go on and cement himself in WWE. Balor spends a little bit longer in NXT finishing things up and then moves his way up to the WWE roster. The only thing that might derail that is that this is not the main event, weirdly enough. That's not the main event match. What is essentially a world title match, not the main event. What is a tag team match. Follow me on this.
If it has Kane and I'm out. If it has Kane or Big Show and I'm fucking out.
Well, you better hit the door then, my friend. All right, thanks. Show's over. It is.
Can I predict it first?
Yeah, please.
It's going to be Kane and Seth Rollins.
Nope.
What?
Fucks it.
Nope.
Well, who else would he? Fucking Security?
I can't keep him in suspense any longer. It is John Cena and Dolph Ziggler against Kane and King Barrett. And that is supposedly the main event of the show.
I'm trying to let that settle.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out the logic of that one. Brock Lesnar is not the main event.
Not the main event. Now, I understand why, because that's going to be a squash match. If you're putting him against Kofi Kingston, that's going to be in and out, done, thanks for coming. If it was Lesnar and Cena, if it was Lesnar and Rollins, whatever, there's your main event easily enough. Rollins, as far as I know, not even advertised for the show. They are advertising locally in Tokyo that the main event will be Cena and Ziggler against Kane and King Barrett.
Well, locally it's advertised as Cena and Ziggler.
Aw.
Did you want
Pesci? I had to see that one coming. I should have seen
Pesci
that one
or Dr. Pekka?
Oh, man. So anyway, those are the only three matches that I know for sure that have been advertised for this show.
Wasn't Jericho supposed to be one place?
They're doing some local shows in the area right now, and he wrestled Finn Balor on Thursday night and apparently tore the house down. Like, that was the match.
That's who he wanted to wrestle too for a while.
Right. And that's his whole deal. Jericho's wanting to do just the live shows and the house show type shows. But anyway, that's live from Tokyo for our time, for Central Time. It'll be 4:30 a.m. on Saturday is when it's live. Obviously, you can watch it anytime after that.
This is a live update on my phone.
Let me guess.
This is breaking news, folks.
Breaking news. The page at facebook.com/claimprize.click says that my Samsung Galaxy S4 was randomly selected as today's lucky mobile device.
Holy shit.
All right. So I've got a virus now, right?
Pretty much.
Is what happened.
No, I think you won.
You win. a virus.
You fucking won whatever it is you got.
I don't understand this. Congratulations that you're today's lucky winner. Every Friday, we select one lucky visitor to receive a special prize.
You won.
You win.
You have 5 minutes and 17 seconds to select a prize, including a PlayStation 4 bundle. This is bullshit.
I'll do it for you. Give me the phone. I'll do it for you.
I feel like this is the clickbait version of
PWU. You want to hear PWU.
Wait, guys, I need you to tell me what I need to buy.
The PS4
You said PS4. Why would you pick anything else?
Well, because there's also an Apple iPad Air 2.
No.
Yeah. And an Apple MacBook Pro.
No. I need that for editing.
Uh-oh. I have a PS4 already.
Oh.
Yeah, we can.
But I know they're both out of stock.
But I don't, and you like me, so...
You want to hear some funny TNA news?
I do.
All right. Actually, I got three.
Shannon's
got
to pick his prize. So I got three. Yeah. Hit me. All right. Rapid fire. Hit me with this.
All right. TNA.
Oh, wait. I got to collect 100 points before I can do that.
Uh-oh.
I don't
know. 100 points doing what?
Had to drop their Slammiversary title match.
Yes, they did.
Because they taped so far in advance, continuity issues happened.
Yep.
They
created a paradox. TNA created a time-fluxing paradox.
And they're filming so far now from November to December, so they're fucked everything up.
Yep.
GFW, is trying to get Bobby Roode and Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy says no.
Right.
They want to do an invasion angle.
Right. That was the big deal after Jarrett won the King of the Mountain title. They said he was going to be defending in a GFW, and some of the people who, quote-unquote, left or quit TNA didn't really quit TNA, that it's part of an angle, and they're going to work for both groups.
It'd be cool. And then here's the funny part I thought was, they had wanted to do an invasion angle before, using ROH.
See, that would have been entertaining.
And they wanted to do like a one-night-only type thing. They wanted the Kingdom, which has Adam Cole, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, and Maryse Kanellis. And basically ROH fucking ignores TNA.
I know Mike
they
Bennett
said, we don't
and Maria,
anything right. to do with you.
See, that kills me, man, because that would have been, and I said entertaining, not that it wouldn't be entertaining with GFW and TNA, because
like
they
the
got a lot
of it.
Sure, they got a lot of great talent, but ROH is at least a name. GFW is brand new, man.
Yes.
All they're doing are these little house shows,
but maybe
and they're
TNA,
just getting going.
Maybe ROH wanted to make sure they got paid.
That could have been it. That could have been it. I'm with you on
sure
that.
I get paid,
that's
yeah,
a good
were,
point.
Apparently, they really want Maryse Kanellis in the Kingdom, and they all said
Maria has developed into just a ridiculous talent outside of WWE. When they had her there, they had her play the stupid, and she wasn't even blonde. You would have thought they would have gone stereotype and had her be the stupid blonde, but she was just the idiot, vapid, can't do anything. Got married to Mike Bennett, and they're a great, great talent together.
Yeah, she's going back to school too.
Yeah, I heard about
that.
She's
in community college in Illinois up north.
Which is just bizarre.
I was listening to her podcast, close. Him and Mike, her and Mike Bennett, and she's like, my very first day there, after 2 hours of being there, some guy walks up with a Playboy and says, will you sign this for me?
Awkward.
And she's like, sure. But
I
she's
guess.
Like, that, I mean, I would have done it.
She's another one that I don't think will ever go back to WWE. If the option was on the table, money was there, I think she would know good and well, you're going to have to be an idiot again. Probably
I would ruin
not.
Her. I would give her the worst 24 seconds.
I thought
of
we were going to get this conversation out of the way before Shannon picked the prize.
No, did you see the picture I posted of Natalia last night?
Yeah, I saw that 3 years ago.
Yeah. Did you see it last night in the dark with a box of Kleenexes?
Actually, the funny thing was, I was on the toilet in the dark when I scrolled through. I was like, oh.
Hey, I'm going to steal a headline. King Barrett wants to be world champion.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Hey, Johnny come lately.
Maybe that's
that
why he's in the main event.
Isn't the Intercontinental Champion sort of like the world champion? Intercontinental.
Yeah, I think we've debated
we that,
that
before.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I lost my
PS4. Did you just now find that?
I think I lost my PS4, by the way.
What happened? Did you not get enough points?
I didn't get enough points.
Son of a
bitch. My eligibility was wrong.
Well, then I look
breathe.
Over,
I'm gonna
and
breathe.
He was looking to get points. The next thing I know, I look over, and I see Natalia's ass. Just,
yeah. And what a, it's nice, too. But
why'd you find that?
Oh man.
I was looking up a female wrestler, and they, oh no, I was looking up, okay, you ever done that Wikipedia thing where you start on one thing, and you end up on something completely different?
Yeah.
Well, I forget what I started on, but I somehow got to Dirty Dick Slater, then Luna Vachon, And then Natalie. And then I just said, I looked up Natalie Neidhart, and that was one of the pictures that popped up. And I was like, that's not her. That's way too much ass showing to be Natalie. And it is. And it's when she was really young.
Yeah.
And she kind of had that Iron Jaw horse face thing going.
I still like that Iron Jaw horse face
thing. Oh, I would. I would make her regret her life.
All right.
Whoa.
How about, as I do.
How about Doink the Clown?
This Barrett
thing.
I'd
make him regret his life, too, if he had one.
By the way, quickly, this Barrett thing is a joke. We talked about it before we went on. Oh, King Barrett wants to be world champion. The Jakarta Post interviewed him in Singapore. He's promoting upcoming events there. This is, I think I told you guys before, anytime that I've interviewed one of them, basically everybody says, I want to be world champion. What, yeah. What's next for you? I want to be world champion. It's exactly what it is. They asked him what his next goal was, and he said, quote, that's definitely a goal of mine, the world championship. I need more time, and I will wait for my opportunity, and that is where I'm at right now. That is the epitome of an O.
You mean,
we may have well just, that was the audio equivalent of the water skiing squirrel. This is a slow news situation for them today. We have the advantage of pulling stuff for a whole week, but today in general,
So things going slow in Singapore today.
Apparently, yeah. That's what they have to talk about. King Barrett,
maybe you know, have lower
world
rating.
Champion, I'll say, question mark?
They did give us the Singapore cane match, at least, for ECW.
True, and they gave it to Sandman.
So God,
there is
God bless them. God bless the people of Singapore.
That's
happy
right.
birthday.
Happy birthday, Singapore. Maybe.
Okay, so I missed the last 5 minutes of news because I was trying to get that PS4. What did I miss?
Oh, you need to recap all the TNA stuff for you?
Fine.
Yeah, TNA happened.
What do you got next?
TNA is there.
I got two more notes. The Doink the Clown thing, which you all probably know about.
Yes. Doink the Clown's mother is suing WWE because he died.
Oh.
Which
I did not know this.
I can understand why she's doing it because WWE's rich.
Sure.
But, I mean, Doink hasn't worked for them in years.
Now, we're talking about Matt Bourne, right?
Matt Bourne.
Okay.
The original Doink the Clown.
Right.
Yeah, he passed away a couple years ago, and his mother is suing the WWE now for his death because of what led to his death.
Gotcha.
As far as I can remember, in terms of wrestling, I don't recall Doink the Clown ever doing anything particularly hardcore.
Yeah.
And I knew he was in ECW for a while.
What was in that seltzer water? Was that the problem? I mean,
that was the problem for a lot of wrestlers back then. So I don't understand it. I don't understand the lawsuit. I think this is just another, oh, they're suing it? I can sue, too.
Well, the story I had seen was that the WWE was trying to block a lot of frivolous lawsuits, and I guess maybe that's what was prompted by this thing coming up, but I didn't see this in particular. That's interesting.
I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think these people have a leg to stand on when it comes to these
well,
lawsuits?
There's always the problem immediately of, and some people may not realize this, but no WWE talent is like a full-blown, you're independent contract.
Yeah.
So that creates just a whole construction site's worth of problems when it comes to legalese of what they do and don't owe anybody.
Right.
So, man, it's tough to say. I mean, with that being the case, you know, it'd be a little more cut and dry if you could say they're WWE employees, so this should happen. Or they're not WWE employees, so it doesn't matter. You know, or there's a statute of limitations, whatever. But with them being independent contractors, those contracts are just, I'm sure they're not fun to read, let's put it that way.
It surprises me still that there's never been a union in wrestling.
Yeah.
And I know
why.
It's the same reason that when a friend of mine, who I won't name, who works at Walmart, when he first started working at Walmart, they show him a video on how unions are awful. Don't ever join one.
Of course.
Same thing with WWE,
sure.
I'm sure. Because they've tried to form a union before. Jesse
right.
Ventura tried to form a union and pretty much got blacklisted from WWE for a long time because of it. But they need one, man.
Yeah.
Someone needs to protect these wrestlers from themselves.
Yeah. Well, and you would think, you know, the comparison, if we're using the comparison of Walmart, obviously WWE employees probably make a hell of a lot more overall, or at the very least the wrestlers do.
Most of them do.
Right. But
I'm
that's
sure
the
there's
thing.
Some that don't.
That's the thing. My initial thought was, but surely they're doing well. But again, like you said, they're the bottom, you know, half of the barrel there could definitely use some protection.
Yeah.
So.
Look how many of them go broke.
Yeah.
So quickly.
Yeah.
And
the problem is, it just like, I guess, a full circle to come back to the deal with Bourne. Now, Bourne didn't commit suicide, did he?
No, I believe he just passed away. I don't remember what the causes were. Hold on.
But that's,
I'm going to look that up real quick.
What I was going to say was, you know, the problem is a lot of times by the time that these guys are gone, the real issue is that they don't die of natural causes generally. I mean, guys like Test, you know, who end up committing suicide, and you have to wonder if it was due to the business, if it had something to do with that. That creates a whole other issue, too, I would think. So.
See, I thought Test died of heart-related failure.
Maybe he did.
The only wrestlers I can remember that actually committed suicide was Renegade.
Yes.
Renegade killed himself.
Canyon.
Canyon killed himself.
Canyon killed himself. Maybe that's who I was thinking of instead of Test. I don't know why I'd get the two confused, but... This is the
Died of an overdose of morphine and hydrocodone.
See, and then the question is, was it intentional or not?
That's true.
I mean,
a lot of man, it's amazing to me how many wrestlers do die from drugs, mm-hmm. you know, from painkillers and stuff like that. But I mean, I'm not a sports guy. Zach, maybe you can tell me this. Junior Seau, I know he killed himself and mm-hmm. he had a lot of problems. Was there a lawsuit from that came from that you know of?
I know that because they did a lot of research into investigating that he had injuries, I believe is from what it was a while back. I don't quite remember much of the story, but I think because of that helped get the NFL into protecting their retired players. They now have a thing where they get injured, concussions or stuff like that, they will take the necessary precautions to helping them get help, to help them get better.
That's good.
Because I think he was like the 11th player from one team that had...
Good night.
Chargers?
Yeah, the Chargers. He was like the 11th player who had killed or died because of NFL-related injuries, which that's a whole different...
Yeah, I mean,
that's a different bag of cats, but still.
That, due to that injury, they've helped their retired players get better, retiring players also going in, help them make sure they get better, and then it's also helped the NFL step up their safety precautions. Yeah, like,
yeah.
They can't, you can't tackle a quarterback a certain way, and I also think they're getting stuff in the helmets that cause, if they get hit a certain way, mm-hmm. they can tell if a player's going to have a concussion from it, depending on how much impact goes into it. Like, a lot of soccer players have it now, it's like a headband.
Yeah,
they can wear and tell them. So they're doing a lot of stuff because of
it. Fitbit for your head, basically.
Basically,
for,
yeah.
For a different purpose.
They sort of have started to do that with WWE. You know, with, I mean, think about wrestling now versus wrestling 10, 15 years ago with the moves that they took,
right.
The chair shots and stuff like that.
Sure.
You know, it's gotten way safer.
Yeah.
And yet we still have guys going out constantly.
All the time. Daniel Bryan. I mean, that's a concussion that may have put him out for the rest of his career.
Yeah, he may be done. More than likely is done.
And sometimes it is
Tyson
good.
Kidd yeah. gone for probably a year.
I mean, which that's a spinal
Corey
issue.
Graves.
Still. Yeah. Corey Graves.
Out
yep.
forever.
Yep.
You know?
At least they, you know, I feel bad for the guy, but at least they make it to where he can still be in the company, but at least it's not going to hurt him. You know, it's not going to affect him and his family later on if
yeah,
he's really injured.
I see what you're saying.
Because he left. Yeah, like if he had stayed, right. Which 10, 15 years ago, he would have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He would have come back after a couple months and started wrestling
again. As soon as he could get back in.
Yeah.
But
now
put Austin
so many
on the shelf almost permanently. You know,
yeah.
He came back way too quick from a fusion surgery that was intended as a quick fix and was never going to hold on for an extended period of time. And then that's what you get. But one more, I guess, a little bit of news. We're about 22 minutes in before we want to get into our actual topic here. I mentioned earlier this week, but WWE's Raw this past Monday night.
Yes.
Lowest rated episode of Raw, yeah. non-holiday, since December 3rd, 2012.
All I did was
I heard 97.
Yeah, there was a really low rated episode at the very beginning of December in 2012 that was not holiday related and not a sports related issue. But, lowest rating on Monday. They fell behind. There were two other shows, Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta or something like that. And something on the Discovery Channel, Street something.
You sure wasn't anything racing. Destination America?
No. Believe it or not.
Wait, well, that sucks. Love and Hip Hop beat out.
Well, think about okay, so yeah. I turned on Hulu Plus, right?
Yes.
And, like, okay, I watched the first segment. It was, I don't know what the fuck happened. And then I got up to, like, Hulu Plus, and I can fast forward, and it shows like the little box, but I'm
right.
fast forwarding. I'm like, Ryback, Bray Wyatt. I go through like the entire thing. I'm like, okay, let's see what happens at the end. Fucking Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. And then I just turned it off. I don't know how it fucking ended.
Literally the only thing you might have missed on Monday, I don't know how much you guys saw the show or were watching or whatever.
I didn't see any of it, I don't think.
Cena and Cesaro fought. There was a U.S. title match for the, and that was a lot of fun, but I'll say this was my problem with that, and it's the same problem I've had with the U.S. Open Challenge for a while now. At the very least, early on, it felt like once Cena won, he won pretty definitively. Cesaro literally hit every move in his repertoire. He did the big swing. He did 1,000 freaking European uppercuts.
Did he do the throwing
up neutralizer,
one?
Did the throwing up one. There was even a great one, too, where he had Cena down. He was just throwing uppercuts left and right, gets Cena down to his knees, keeps throwing him, throws him the double birds, and then hits him with another.
That's the highlight of the whole fucking show.
Oh yeah,
right
there's
there.
A great GIF of it. That's or GIF or whatever floating around. That is fantastic, and I'll show it to you afterward. But they did all this, went through all that, and Cena still won.
Of
now you cannot tell me that makes Cesaro look good. What it does is it makes Cesaro's moveset looks super weak.
Yeah.
He gave everything,
he could, but the kitchen sink at him.
And still lost. He almost lost to the backpack stunner, and I was, or not the, the springboard stunner, and
the
I was going to lose my mind.
Sounds better.
That's a whole other thing. That's where you hook him up, and then,
Also, I'm reading it right now. Yeah, it's the second lowest rating since 97. So the one you were talking about, 2012.
That would be the lowest.
Yeah. So, still, scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
Brutal.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Because 97 is right in the midst of Nitro whooping dog shit out of him.
Yeah. Glad I wasn't watching this live.
Speaking of which, we'll get back to how awful Raw was, but yes. I was watching a video, and I think Zach, I can't remember who was watching it with me yesterday, but they posted a new thing on WWE's YouTube channel for five things you didn't know or whatever, and it was five people that share music. And they had Del Wilkes and Kurt Angle on there, and during the Del Wilkes segment, there's a guy holding a sign on camera, you see it plain as day, that said Nitro's for homos. And how WWE allowed that onto their channel, I don't know.
Yeah,
someone wasn't paying attention.
And I started saying they've been so good about blurring out stuff in the past, or, you know, just doing what they have to do, camera tricks, you know, cut the frame, whatever.
Yeah, flat out. Nitro's for homos.
Right there in the shot.
Somebody's probably going to slip up here and there. They've been pretty good about blurring stuff out. Somebody's got, there's got to be at least one flaw
somewhere. Now, here's the question, though.
What was on purpose?
I was going to say, if you want to play conspiracy theory, it didn't say Raw is. It said Nitro is.
And it said homos. Right in the midst of the Supreme Court ruling.
I think it was just somebody slipped
up. Yeah. That's farther conspiracy than I was going, but I see what you're getting at there.
Well, Tanner, next show, buddy. You stop passing those kidney stones.
Baby.
Yeah.
No. No, he's not. Those are horrible.
It's so stale. Raw, we do this every...
I thought you meant Tanner's kidney stones.
No, I'm tired of talking about them. Oh, Stoney's boring.
They're stale.
We go in this cycle where it's just boring and boring, and it gets boring and stale, and then they'll have this great pay-per-view with this huge sting, and we'll all go, oh, wrestling, cool again.
Yep. Gotta watch on Monday.
And then progressively, worse and worse and worse, and man, this cycle's getting old.
Well, and this one is so bad, and we've mentioned this before, but, you know, WWE got into that nice little, not rut, that sounds negative, but this nice little rhythm, I guess, of, you know, couple pay-per-view or pay-per-view-esque events every, you know, couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, oh, it's how many weeks till Battleground? Oh, you can just hear the tumbleweeds roll by in the writers' heads. We have to do what
better
now?
Better stall.
Yeah. Teddy Long sitting at home like, I'm right here. I can make tag team matches all day.
I can be there in 5 minutes, player. I'm outside of every event.
Did you hear Mark Henry has some new terrible music, too, by the way? Did you notice that?
No, I like the new. I like the one he had.
3-6 Mafia. Are you kidding me? That's what we should have stuck with.
Whoa. That's what I'm saying. I like it. That's what I'm saying. I like that one.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant like the new one.
No, I'm upset you're telling me he has a new one. I'm like, I don't want to hear it now.
It's terrible.
I haven't heard it.
I assume they just didn't want to pay the rights for...
But how much can 3-6 Mafia really charge?
That's a good question.
You know?
But they didn't want to pay the rights.
I'm going to say $36 or $9.
Mafia?
46 and 2? I don't know what we're doing.
I don't know either.
3 plus 6 makes 9, and then 30, and then 3 and 6 makes 36.
I had a point. I was going to say, so you know what they're going to do now that this rating, because Vince McMahon, I guarantee one of two things will happen.
He's going to show up on the show.
He will be on the show next time.
He'll be there.
Yeah, and they'll probably eventually in the next couple of months, hear me out.
Give away free money?
I wish
I could have been at that show.
I almost had some of that money, but I didn't have enough points.
Oh, jeez.
My eligibility wasn't right. No.
Points.
They're going to put the title on Cena.
Within the next couple of months.
Because they're going to see the ratings. They're going to go, oh, God, Seth Rollins isn't doing it. Either they're going to put the title on Lesnar or Cena.
I can't believe Lesnar. Because Rollins wasn't at the end of the show.
But they're going to blame. They always blame the champion for the rating.
I get where you're going with that, and I agree with you on that. They will probably blame Seth Rollins for this in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And Cesaro, for that matter. Oh,
yeah.
Cena fought Cesaro on the lowest rated one. Well, I guess we're not doing that with him anymore.
Yeah.
There goes that singles Bray push Wyatt that we were going to try. Reigns. They ended the fucking show.
Bray Wyatt's a homegrown boy, and he's second or third generation. I'm trying to remember. Second. So they're never going to blame him. That's not his fault.
Well, none of that, but Wyatt's already dead in the water.
Yeah. And Roman Reigns is the same way. He's too ingrained.
Roman Reigns is the golden boy.
Yeah. Roman Reigns is going to be.
Which one?
Bray Wyatt. Have you seen Bray Wyatt's new shirt?
Is the one that says, like, find me or something?
It says find me, but it's just a fucking sheep. Just a goddamn, like, little.
It's just a sheep.
Just a fucking sheep.
That's kind of weird. I thought you meant Roman Reigns because they're literally throwing every catchphrase they can at Roman until something sticks.
We'll be wham, wham, wazzle.
I forget what the new one is. It's
bucka,
like
bucka.
Hit hard, hit often or something.
Hit,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's hit hard, hit often.
Is that what it is, really? I'm depressed that I remembered that. I'm really sad that I got that right.
I think Hunter just bought the shirt and didn't even know it.
Oh, gosh.
It's coming in the mail.
I'm going to show up at Battleground with it on and be like, I don't even know what happened.
I didn't have this on when I left the house. Just don't get just whatever you do. Don't take the title belt from Dave Mahoney.
By the way, I owe you an apology for the Zack Ryder joke the other day.
I laughed. I thought it was hilarious.
Please tell me you saw that, Zach.
No. If anything with Dave Mahoney, I'm out.
Shannon posted something on Facebook about Mahoney. He's like, does anyone need a wrestling, or does anyone want a wrestling belt?
I
couldn't help but post the picture of Zack Ryder just like his shoulders up like, me, maybe?
It'd be funny if I got Dave in touch with Zack Ryder.
And he would actually
trade his Xbox One for that belt.
Put him on his internet show. Hey, we're halfway in. Maybe we should talk about our topic.
Well, you know, I was going to say, one of the things that makes Raw so painful for me to watch.
Fuck you.
I'm not even talking about Michael Cole. Is the commentary. Byron Saxton.
Okay, I give you that one.
We've said it before. We wanted to talk about commentary because as important as wrestling is to wrestling, when you're watching a live show, if you're not there live, the commentary is what either draws you in or puts you out.
Yep.
And the commentary on wrestling on Monday Night Raw has not been good, and I don't even want to say since JR, because I don't, as much as we joke about it, I don't dislike Michael Cole.
Yeah.
He is a journalist. He's covered wars. He's covered important things.
Yeah.
He's a good commentator.
Sure.
The problem, it's not even JBL or Brian Saxton, probably. Mm-hmm. It's Vince McMahon. It all boils down to Vince McMahon, because if you ever see those little earpieces in their ear, it's Vince McMahon barking orders at them constantly.
That's why Mick Foley got out of commentary. Yeah, you know, he commentated for SmackDown for a few months, and he said outright at a point in time when he was not on good terms with WWE, I couldn't deal with Vince just constantly yelling in my ear.
But sometimes you got to look. Michael Cole is one of those guys. They say that he goes to like every show. He takes notes. So I don't think he needs as much coaching as some of the other players or some of the other commentators on the table.
The three-man team.
Yeah. I think he does a lot of it on his own. But the way he sells, if he has to tell something, like if it wasn't for him selling it, like he goes over the top.
Yeah.
When he sells it, and it gets me into it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think he's...
When he does, it's good. When Michael Cole sells the events that are happening in the ring, it's good.
Yeah, when Cole's on, he's on. Yeah. That's for sure.
Now, I still don't think he's as good as Jim Ross.
No.
And that's
I'll
not a shot
that.
At... Never. That's like, oh my God, that's like saying, Hunter, you're not as good as George Norrie. You know, that's a bad example.
You're not Howard Stern. You're not going to be Howard Stern. Yeah, I don't want to be. I'm good. Thanks.
Exactly. JR is just that guy that he's at the top of his game.
Right.
No one will be as good as him.
Well, and they have these larger, it's a good analogy, actually. They have larger life personalities. I would never be Howard Stern, not because I'm not as good as him, but because I'm not him.
I'm
not that guy. Yeah. Same thing goes for Cole and JR.
Yeah, JR had the cowboy hat, the barbecue sauce, the catchphrases. And Cole doesn't have any of those.
No.
And one, because they don't let him have any of those. JR did it because he wanted to do it.
Well, let's be honest. The last time they gave Cole a personality outside of I'm a commentator, had this god-awful heel run for however long that was.
I loved it. I loved the coal mine.
That was the worst thing ever.
The coal
ever.
Mine was amazing.
It ruined WrestleMania.
No, it did not.
It completely ruined that year. Yes, it did.
That face made WrestleMania.
That face was fucking clown shoes. It ruined WrestleMania.
No, it made it awesome. No. Yes. Oh, man.
What ruined WrestleMania was the fact that Cole won.
There you go. That was bad enough.
If they would have had this build-up and Lawler would have beat the crap out of him, and then...
It would have been fine.
It would have been like... And then Cole would have come out and said, hey, sorry about that.
The only good thing... The only credit I will give them, really, when it comes to that whole series of angles and everything is... that they ended it when King had that legitimate heart attack.
Yeah.
If they had kept that going at that time, I don't think I could have handled it. Now, to be fair, CM Punk took a shot at him afterward, and that was a little cringe inducing.
Okay? Like,
That it was, because I never heard anything afterward that there was any, you know, heat between him and Lawler. But I'm glad that they allowed Cole to... I like to think Vince McMahon just pulled the earpiece out and said, just do what you got to do. And just let him talk and say, listen, we had a real legitimate situation here.
Yeah.
You know, King just had a heart attack. We're hoping he's going to be okay. And literally, from that point on, the heel character was dead and done.
He couldn't be a heel after that.
He couldn't do that.
I mean, Jerry Lawler said, you know, Michael Cole pretty much saved my life.
And got me through it,
Got me through it, yeah. So Cole was...
Checked on him every day.
A godsend at that point, you know?
And that's why I agree. I don't think he should have stayed heel. I liked him much better. He was kind of like that cartoony type kid you go to school with who's always trying to be a douche and say things.
Yeah, and
I couldn't stand him. And that's why I think JBL is the perfect heel table. Well, it's I was perfect commentator for the table.
Cole was good as a heel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought his Cole Mine character was
awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
But not as a lead commentator.
Correct.
When
Correct.
You turn on the show and the guy you hear the most is constantly talking about how great Miz is,
yeah.
and he's playing the heel role, it was horrible. It's hard to listen to.
And I don't think anybody that was behind that or that was, you know, there in the moment as that was going on really took into account that there is no way to bring in new viewers at that time. You know, to be fair, WWE spends a lot of their time not necessarily thinking about new viewers. I wish they would.
Yeah.
But at this time, I mean, really seriously, step back, and this is something I try to do just, you know, from my day-to-day stuff, is step back and take a little look at what I'm doing as a listener. Okay, if I was listening to this show and I heard this, would it sound weird? Should I have done this? Should I maybe do this more? Yeah. Whatever. I don't think anybody in WWE at that time was able to step back and go, if I was brand new to the show and had never seen it, and I turn it on, and I got this guy telling me how good this guy is, but he's obviously terrible,
yeah,
it's going to be confusing.
Yeah,
if you
yeah.
don't know much about wrestling, that is super confusing.
That's what I'm saying. The commentator is the one that draws you in.
Right.
They are probably the most important part of wrestling, right, other than the wrestlers.
You really can't have a heel play-by-play guy. That, no. That's the way that I put it.
No.
I don't think you can have a good heel play-by-play guy. It just doesn't work.
And they've never done it, as far as I know.
Yeah, other than Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because every announcer that I've ever been, you know...
Well, they tried with JR, but at that time, he was basically color. You know, when they did the... they brought in the fake Diesel and Razor Ramon and
yeah.
stuff. I mean, they tried it.
Yeah.
But he wasn't even really part of the commentary thing.
No,
he had his own cable and that...
Yeah.
that lasted, what, 2 weeks, and then it was gone.
Thank God.
Yeah, really, that was terrible.
What were those wrestlers' names?
Oh, crap.
I think one was Glenn something. I think he went on to
yeah, he was a dentist, and then I don't know.
I don't know. I think he's at a corporate job now,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure. it's Kane.
It's Kane. That's who it is. See, now we're thinking about new listeners who are going to go, the hell are they talking about? So we have to just
I was getting ready to rail. I think you guys were getting ready to rail, and I was going to pull us back in. I was going to be the one who's going to save us today.
All of the play-by-play guys that I can ever think of, and the ones I'm familiar with, Jim Ross, Michael Cole, other than the heel moment.
Mike Tenay.
I'd have to have watched TNA.
Our WC fucking W.
Yeah. He was never lead commentator there. It was always...
Wasn't?
No, it was... Well... No, he was the equivalent of the... He was kind of like Jerry Lawler, but without the personality.
Yeah.
But he was smarter.
He was. He's
smart. They call him the professor.
Mike Tenay's spot this year, too, on TNA?
Oh, wasn't it...
You're going to like it when you figure it out.
I know.
Not Don West, is it?
No, he's gone. He's been gone.
Okay.
Oh,
it's the kid with the glasses. The WWE, is it Josh Matthews?
It is.
Yeah, Josh Matthews. Yeah.
There you go.
That's pretty cool.
That guy.
Yeah, I like
Josh. Is he getting paid, though?
Yeah. I also don't like the three-man booth.
Yeah.
I don't like the three-man booth.
Yep.
It only ever worked at one time for me, and that was WCW. When it was Eric Bischoff, Mongo McMichael, and Bobby Heenan,
yeah.
loved it.
Now, NXT has had a pretty good three-man booth.
Yes.
Not recently. I don't really like their current commentary team. That Tom, not Tom Phillips, he's okay. There's another guy. That's
there's Byron Saxton.
It's Byron Saxton.
Corey Graves.
And whoever the guy is.
And
Miss
Tom Phillips.
No, it's not Tom Phillips. It's a different guy. I just said that.
Well, I thought you...
I think Tom is only doing backstage interviewing right now. I don't think he's doing the broadcast.
And someone said that he's 9 feet tall.
He is ridiculously tall.
He's,
if you watch that first episode of Swerved, any time that he's up against, like, Ziggler, so he's the same height as all these guys.
Future wrestler, future
there
champion.
There you go.
Do you watch Superstars at all?
Not really.
You know who's on that show?
Who's that?
Renee Young.
You're going to tell me.
I am. Renee Young.
Renee's good at commentary. And that's actually what I was going to say. NXT commentary at one point in time was Renee and... God, there were two other guys, too, and they were good, and it wasn't... Maybe Byron was part of that, and he was okay there, but there was another guy.
That's, you know, that's what frustrates the shit out of me, is like...
There's no personalities.
Well, on WWE TV, mm-hmm. all right, you got rid of Jerry Lawler.
Right.
You sent him to SmackDown, which... Or,
he wasn't even on SmackDown this past week, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Like, don't,
they had Jimmy Uso doing commentary, because the other one's injured.
I know that a lot of people give Jerry Lawler shit because of the puppies and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but Jerry Lawler is one of the best...
It's been years since they've done that.
And he's one of the best personalities in wrestling.
Yeah.
To replace him on both shows, I mean, they're moving out the older people is what it is.
Right.
Just like they did with Jim Ross.
Yep.
When they got rid of Jim Ross and said, we want someone younger, Michael Cole, put him in there.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they brought Byron Saxton up. Instead of Renee Young.
But see, I've listened to the podcast on Chris Jericho podcast. Had her on there last week. Last week.
Had Renee on?
Had Renee
on. Yeah.
And she was talking, you know, this is a whole... She's like, she came from a show in Canada where she was just an interviewer. It's all she's ever known. She said, commentary is a whole new thing for me.
It is.
So she said she just recently started doing Superstars. I forget if she said she did NXT. I thought all I knew was Superstars at the time.
Yeah.
She says... She's still learning it. And I realize why she didn't get brought up yet, because I don't think
it's what happened to Byron Saxton.
Yeah.
That's got to be what it was. Because, I mean, she's, from what I've heard of her on NXT, the couple of times that she's done those shows, she's, leaps and bounds above Byron Saxton.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the question has to come up. Let's just put it out there.
She's a woman.
Is there some misogyny there? Yeah. And
I think soon she's going to be on the main.
Well, can you name, and me and Zach were talking about this the other day, can you name a single female commentator?
No.
Ever?
No.
Meaning,
and is Vince going to be comfortable with putting her behind? It's one of two things. Either A, is he going to be comfortable with having to yell at her constantly and having to deal with her behind the booth? B, is Vince misogynistic enough to go, we can't hide her behind a booth? That won't work.
She's got
to
be out front.
She's got to be out front. Well, it's the Fox News mentality.
Yeah,
we're going to have a glass table so that you can see her the whole time.
Well, let's be fair. She's a very attractive young lady.
Sure.
Smoking hot. The already property of the Titty Master right now, from what I understand. But
I haven't heard that in a while.
I want to bring it back to the 4th of July. Smoking hot, incredibly beautiful. But she also, let's not just break her down by, she has blonde hair and a nice rack.
And that's what I'm saying.
She's smart and she's funny.
Right,
she's
will WWE look at it that way?
I hope so, because she's the best. I think she's the best, one of the best talents that they have.
Yep.
ESPN, from what I understand, is already trying to steal her.
Yep.
Constantly. Because they can do so much with her that WWE and the Vince McMahon won't do.
Right.
Rich Brennan.
Yeah, that's it. I knew it started with an R, and
that's
NXT guy? Rich Brennan is the other guy.
I have no idea who he is.
I don't know. I don't know who he is. All I remember is Byron Saxton, Corey Graves, and Albert.
Well, the most recent.
Albert. He was good.
But he's
what's his name now? He has a whole different name now. Yeah, but now he's
Matt Bloom.
Matt Bloom. There you go.
Jason Albert.
Jason Albert. That's what I'm trying to say.
Matt Bloom is his real name.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, the most recent episodes of NXT, at the very least this past week, was Rich, Byron, and Corey. And it's just awkward, man. It's not very good.
I love Corey Graves. And me and Asa have this shared love of Corey Graves.
Yeah.
But he's playing the role of heel commentator now.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
I don't either.
It doesn't fit.
What bothers me was when they had Byron Saxton up, you couldn't, and they had Byron Saxton, Booker T, and JBL. Nobody seemed to know how to, they couldn't flow correctly. Like,
yeah.
They nobody was there to say, hey guys, let's go this direction. Hey, how's that? That's good. What's this?
Yeah, it seems so obvious because you've got Booker, who's the perennial face. He's always going to be that way. JBL's always going to be the heel commentator.
Yeah.
So Byron's right down the middle. He shouldn't be cheering or booing anybody in particular and just mostly focus on calling the match.
Yes, he should be unbiased. He should be the,
right.
He should but be he the guy.
In a perfect world, that's how it would work.
That's how commentary works.
Right.
It's like if you took Tanner Thursdays. Plug for Podzilla 1985 on the network.
Uh-huh.
By the way, if you took Tanner Thursdays and took me out of it, no offense to anybody that's on that show because they're all good, but if you don't have me,
you gotta have a mediator.
You have to have somebody there to guide the show, because
the
if it was just all of those guys talking, I don't know if it would work as well.
No,
you know.
Well, that's just any given show. I mean, you have to have somebody who's keeping things on track down the middle.
Which makes me think, I'm good at this. We do this all the time. We get in here and we talk. I do 4 shows a week.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm always talking. I don't slouch. No. I try to keep it entertaining. So I thought I'd be a great commentator.
Listen
to me talk all the time. But then when we watch wrestling, it's almost like Shannon, commentate on this. I'll just go.
You can't do it.
I can't.
You got to have somebody. Plus, I think we put you on the spot too. Because I think if you had somebody there to go along with you, if me and you just sat down at the table and tried doing,
commentary,
and actually, I think we could make it funny. And make
I would do it in a heartbeat, and I'll tell you right
now.
I want to do
a pay-per-view show like that.
When we were kids, my buddy Jake and I, he's the one who got me into wrestling around 97, 98 or so, or got it, hardcore into it from where I've been ever since. And he was I want to be a wrestler. I want to do this. I want to go and do that. And he's fairly athletic. I was literally from moment one like, no, I want to commentate. That's what I want to do.
That's what I've been trying to
do.
And I think what we should do for one day, for pay-per-view, call the main event. I would take the main event for the show.
Like Riff Tracks, the main event? Mystery Science Theater 3000 style?
Yeah,
but see, the problem with that is that you can't show the video.
True. Well, we just have to start a YouTube channel.
You still can't show the video, though.
I think if you're showing
us watching it,
right?
Maybe.
That's what I'm getting at. If you kind of show it from behind our point of view and then watching the show,
I love the idea of a YouTube channel. We should talk about that after the show.
We should talk about that after the show.
I'm fine with that.
We could do the first one from Battleground.
Well,
why
is that? I'll be a little jealous if you do.
Yeah, you really will.
Maybe we'll just do an intro video from there, and then that'll be, because you got to have the one video that rolls.
Yeah,
hey, this was the Podzilla Network or whatever.
So. Yeah,
yeah.
Especially if we can meet some wrestlers.
Yeah.
Should we take press badges for Podzilla?
I always take my.
Are you gonna meet wrestlers?
I don't know. I don't have anything like that set up as it stands right now, and I've not heard about it. But here's the thing. The time that I've got a great picture of, in fact, me and Jake with Kofi Kingston and R-Truth with the tag team titles. They let us hold them and everything. That was a show here at the Show Me Center, and we didn't know about that. We got there that day, had our tickets that I had been graciously given, whatever.
Yeah.
And we were told, oh, by the way, here's your backstage passes. We'll have some guys come around here in just a little bit in the press room to talk to you. We had no clue.
I'm not going to lie. If they start coming to Cape, I might bug you a little more.
That's the thing. I wonder where the hell they are, man. Hey, we haven't had a show in Cape in a while.
When was the last show in Cape? Wasn't it TNA?
A couple of years ago.
No. It was WWE.
It was a couple of years ago.
Oh, boy, that TNA show.
Let's Corey Graves was actually wrestling at the last show that was in Cape. That was the last one.
You know
that was.
Real quick, the TNA show, you know who was champion when that show was on?
Was it Billy Ray?
It was Chris Sabin.
Chris Sabin wasn't even on the
wasn't
show.
On the card because he didn't have his permit.
That was a whole other.
I was so mad.
And you still have that archive, that article you wrote about it?
God. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to. Man. Just so the what's the guy from KGMO? I don't even fuck his name.
Kevin Casey.
Just so Kevin Casey can go and read it and get mad at me every once in a while.
It makes me a little happier to know that you forgot his name there for a minute. Because you would never forget my name, Hunter Hendricks, personal friend.
I can't. Kevin Casey, not a personal friend. I don't think he likes me very much.
Does anybody here watch the ROH show?
On the KBSI?
Yeah, anybody
I've
watch
seen
that?
It occasionally, but not recently.
Is Saban on there now?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Does he do commentary?
Yeah, who's the commentator?
That's what they're saying. I like their commentary team.
Who is it?
Their lead commentator is Kevin Kelly. What you spoke for WWE?
Oh, okay. I loved Kevin Kelly. Yeah. I thought he was great.
He's very good. He's
kind of looks like Chris Farley.
He's a hermaphrodite.
Yeah. He's kind of.
Did you know that?
I remember that.
Yeah. This is far out there, but he's kind of like a JBL for the show. He's very good. He reminds me a little bit of JR.
He's got a little mix of play by play and color
selling. Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. And then his person that he's with or his partner is
color
Steve.
Commentator.
Yeah, Steve Carino. Used to be a heel commentator.
ACW. Personal friend of Louis, I think, actually.
Yeah, he used to be a heel commentator when Kevin Owens was in the show and they had this whole scum thing going on.
And remind me, didn't they for a while have, what's his name? He was in TNA for a while. They had a British wrestler who was commentating for them.
Nigel McGuinness.
Nigel McGuinness, yes.
Desmond
Wolf.
He's basically their general manager.
Oh, okay.
He moved up the ladder a little bit.
See, I miss Cornette, man.
Yeah, Cornette was good.
Miss
stuff.
Cornette.
He broadcasts or commentates every now and then, depending on who's wrestling and what it's about. But he's been on the past couple of weeks. But you know,
that's the last one I specifically remember them having as a commentator. Yeah. Now, I've seen it between now and then, but I didn't really pay attention to who was behind the booth. So.
I mean, I like Steve Carino being on there. I liked him when he was a heel because he was a really good heel.
Yeah.
But now he's the baby face because a heel team's got his son turning against him. There's this whole angle, so now he has to be a face. Yeah. But Kevin Kelly is what gets the show for me.
Yeah. He's good. He's an old school guy too.
That's cool.
What I like. Let's throw this out here because we're probably gonna wrap it up here in the next couple minutes.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite booth team? Because again, we want to stress
be fantasy.
No,
the one.
Well,
let's
tell you what we'll do. We'll do two. We'll do one fantasy, and one real.
Yeah.
And again, for those of you wondering why we spent the last 30 minutes talking about commentary and not wrestling and wrestling, because commentary is imagine the best movie in the world with no dialogue.
Right.
You know. These are the storytellers. They're the ones that draw you into this. You got to be good at this.
Even the quote-unquote, you know, legitimate sports as opposed to wrestling or whatever, some of the great sports moments of all time come from voices.
Yes.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Down goes Frazier. I mean, this is what you remember with these moments. You see them, but if you saw them without the audio, you probably wouldn't remember them the same way that you do.
Yeah, I mean, John Madden and John Madden and... Pat Summerall.
Oh, okay.
Pat Summerall and John Madden, two of the best football commentators. I mean,
it's like you're on your own, man.
It wouldn't have been the same without them.
Yeah.
You know, at all. Marv Albert.
I do know Marv Albert.
Yeah, one of the classics.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you got to have it. So, Zach, I want to start with you. Or do you want me to skip you and go to Hunter first?
My thing is, I can't make up my fantasy.
All right, we're going to go to Hunter first.
Okay.
Your favorite legit one? And then what's your fantasy wise? Anybody?
Favorite actual team that has existed at some point in time? I'm gonna cheat a little bit on this because the actual team that I would pick would be around the time of WrestleMania 17, JR and Paul Heyman. I think Paul Heyman was a severely underrated color commentator. Now, granted, he serves a much better role as a manager, as a booker, you know, maybe not so much with the money. But
Paul Heyman excels in every role except for accountant.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. But I think he was a great color commentator at a time when they couldn't have King around, you know, for what was... widely regarded and still is the greatest WWE WrestleMania of all time. So I think JR was really.
Why was Jerry Lawler not there? It's important to say because it's funny.
Jerry Lawler was at the time married to, and I don't remember her real name, but the Cat.
The Cat.
Yeah, and she was the WWE diva before they were really called divas. Who really could not wrestle to save her life, was mostly just there for her appearance.
Yeah.
And she was let go. Lawler was so mad about this that he left the company.
Yeah.
They, of course, split up like a month later, I think. It wasn't much longer after that they weren't together. And pretty soon Lawler came back. That was a point in time when a lot of people were actually really mad at King because they felt that he ruined WrestleMania. But, I mean, right before that, again, they brought in Paul Heyman. Heyman had some classic lines. One of my all-time favorites, and I may have talked about this on the show, is at that time they were doing the invasion angle. So, of course, it really worked to have Paul Heyman there because they were going to bring him in. There was an episode of Raw after The Rock came back and had made his choice to stick with WWF during the invasion situation that Shane McMahon had started attacking him personally. So the opening match on an episode of Raw, just keep this in mind, it was the very first match, was The Rock against Shane McMahon in a street fight. So first of all, great way to open the show.
Those days, man.
Secondly, those two are going to work well together because The Rock's always been a guy who can really work well with guys who aren't, you know, full-blown wrestlers. And Shane McMahon can take a bump like nobody's
business. My God, he's insane.
So they have JR and Heyman on commentary, and Heyman is in full-blown heel mode at this point. He's with the Alliance. He's doing his thing. Shane comes out with a whole trash can full of goodies and his kendo stick. This is his Bane weapon, and he's twirling it around, hopping around like Shane McMahon does. The Rock is on the other side of the ring just staring him down. Shane's twirling the kendo stick, and Heyman is on commentary praising him, talking about how great he is, what a star athlete he is. All of a sudden, the stick flies out of his hands and goes flying out like toward the crowd. And The Rock's eyes get real big. And, I mean, the camera work was just perfect at this time, too. So Heyman goes completely quiet. JR goes, uh-oh. And Shane McMahon takes a step backward. Rock takes a step forward. They're going back and forth. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, in the middle of JR saying something about Shane McMahon's going to be in trouble here, Heyman, as loud as he can, goes, get the stick! Get the stick! He just starts freaking out. And it was, I mean, I laughed throughout the entire match from that point on. So it's just a great Paul Heyman moment on commentary.
I gotta watch this on YouTube.
It's Paul fantastic. It is. Look up Rock Shane McMahon Street Fight, and I'm sure you'll find it. I think it's the only one they ever had. But anyway, so yeah, that would be probably my favorite team just in general. The two-person JR, Paul Heyman was a great team. I will say, though, because I don't think anybody else will mention this because they're not going to think of him as a team, but Joey Styles deserves an honorable mention here.
Oh, just for carrying it by himself.
Best single commentator.
And not only was he the only single commentator, he did the show at... He watched it on TV.
Yeah.
He did most of it in a studio. He had to
act like he was... basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the audience.
That's right.
That's amazing. Because you record here, I'm sure, all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just one person trying to record for, like, a commercial.
Yeah.
And I've had to do it before, and they're like, if you think you're like a cheerleader, go 10 times more, is what they told me.
Exactly.
And it doesn't sound anything like that.
Yeah.
When I do it.
Joey Styles also cut one of the best heel promos. To me, it wasn't even a heel promo. Yeah. When he quit commentary on Raw to go to ECW, incredible.
Yeah,
just amazing.
It was great. So I think Joey deserves an honorable mention.
Did you elect the motherfucker of the week?
Huh?
Did you do the motherfucker
of
the week?
No, I haven't. Motherfucker
we'll
week
save that for
we'll
the last.
We'll throw that at the end.
Joey Styles, you're the Barks root beer of the week. I don't have anything. Just go to the next.
You're
I don't
the, like that. You're Barks the that much. Fireworks.
You're the 4th of July spectacular.
There you go.
Congratulations.
So I guess if I had to, because I'm kind of doing this fantasy team on the fly, I'd probably just put the two of them together. And if you had Joey and Paul working together,
did they ever do that in ECW?
I don't know that they did, but I think that would have been great. Now there
that'd
was
be a great team.
You did have a pretty close setup there where you had Joey and Mick Foley at the very first ECW One Night Stand, and they were great together too.
But Joey and Taz were great together
too. And that
Michael
was when
Cole
Taz
and
had
Taz
finally
were good.
Mm-hmm, when you know? Taz had finally come into his own, they were really good together. So yeah, if I had a fantasy book one that hasn't, to my knowledge anyway, happened, it would probably be Joey and Paul.
I want to tack on something.
Yes.
What's the worst?
The worst commentary team? Ooh, that's tough. Okay, I hated Mark Madden in ECW. WCW.
I was going to say Mark
hated
Madden.
Hated Mark
well.
Madden.
Cannot stand Mark Madden.
And pretty much, and I'm not, I think we should probably discount any, like, color, or, I mean, guest commentators. I don't think you can really count wrestlers.
Otherwise, it'd be like Jeremy Piven or something.
Right, that's usually a one-off thing that happens and then nobody gives a crap. As far as, like, a regular team that I hated, I did not like Mike Tenay and Don West at first. In TNA. I did not like them together at first because West was just so obnoxious.
Because he's just an infomercial salesman.
Yeah, he didn't really know the product. Yeah. He was just really loud, didn't know what was going on. But as far as just, I don't know that I could pick a team other than maybe them, but the single worst commentator in my mind is Mark Madden. Yeah. He was just terrible.
Zach, are you ready for yours? Do you want me to go?
Oh, I can go if you want me to.
Oh, yeah. But I also want to point out that Mark Madden is the absolute worst.
I feel the need to say Mark Madden is terrible.
With his stupid old fat guy Hawaiian shirt, he was just awful. He was painful. I stopped watching WCW. I actually talked to him once.
Really?
Yeah. It was when WCW had their Ask a Question thing on their website, and I was a big rap fan at the time, so I said, you know, that six-pack is just disrespecting the memory of Tupac. And Mark Madden actually replied to me and, like, insulted me. And
of course he did. Yeah. Of course he did.
I didn't mean to do that.
I meant to
call him a
great.
Dick.
Now we have to edit the podcast.
I meant to call him a dick, and it totally slipped.
You see what it's done to your head, man?
That's not intentional, though.
We'll say he meant, this dick is, that dick is awful.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll let it slide.
That's right.
I'm so proud of him.
Everybody gets one.
That's true. All right, so Zach, what do you got?
Okay.
What's your favorite?
My favorite is JR and King.
Classic.
That's a classic combo.
That's when I was, like, big, like, hugely. It's when I first started getting into it.
You said early 2000s, so we're talking post, like, puppies, King.
Yeah,
there were still puppies. Like, I was...
But not nearly as bad.
Not nearly as bad, yes.
Oh, my God. Growing up during the Attitude Era, if I saw a girl coming out, I would go,
basically, we're talking about face King and JR. Not when there was the big distinction between JR is the face, King is the heel.
Yeah. They were still kind
there's of... There's a little bit... They riff on each other, but they're
like
obviously
Triple
friends.
H was big deal, and he's like, I hated Triple H when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I fucking hated the King because he always fucking cheered for Triple H.
I see what you're going.
Yeah.
He was still the heel, but it wasn't
obnoxious heel.
Let's cheer guys, even when they're clearly the worst in the world.
My fantasy, and I actually have a worse one since you mentioned it earlier.
Uh-oh.
But my fantasy, I have a tough decision. Cole's obviously on it. I couldn't decide between Graves or Young. Renee Young. I think I would have chose Graves, but I also really want Renee Young in there.
Now, I mean, nobody says you can't have a three-person team.
Sure. Yeah. Have a three-man booth.
If you want it.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm with Shannon. I think the two-person team is the best way to go.
I would have put Cole, Graves, and Young, but I wanted to have a heel person in there.
Yeah, I understand.
And I couldn't.
I wanted to have a heel person, and Graves ain't cutting it.
It ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
Well, and then I couldn't decide between the ones I like. I like King and JBL, and then I thought Taz has also always been pretty decent.
Yeah,
Taz came into his own. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. I'll give him that. He wasn't always great.
No,
you see some of his early stuff.
Velocity.
Yeah, oh, man.
Velocity.
And going for a pin cover there. I'll never in my life understand what the hell a pin cover is.
A pin cover. Yeah.
Yeah, going for the cover, going
Sports
for the pin,
ball.
And you put them together. Sports ball.
You want to hear my worst?
What's your worst?
You're not going to like it.
Uh-oh.
We never do.
Jim Cornette.
Shawn Michaels.
Who?
Like
Jim Cornette.
You thought
really?
He was a bad guy? I barely even remember him commentating.
When I first...
But I do remember it.
Yeah.
I was watching... I was like a few years ago, I didn't really know anything about ROH.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that when I was younger, I was like, I flipped through the channels late at night, and I'd come across like this crappy wrestling show, which then again later on I ended up loving, which is ROH. But I didn't like how they opened the show, and it was always when Jim Cornette was in trouble or start the show, they'd always start the show like 5 or 10 minutes, just him in the ring, just talking about what's coming up tonight. And I didn't like the way he sold it. I didn't like the way he talked.
So that colored your opinion of him as a commentator.
And then he went and did the commentating on the show, and I was like, and then I couldn't really watch ROH because I didn't like how.
I can understand that. You had extenuating circumstances there.
Yes,
I mean,
so
that makes sense.
I like Cornette. I've always respected
I respect
the man.
Him.
Yeah. I can't remember him doing commentary.
That's the thing. I really don't either.
Yeah, and I think he's more ROH commentary. So. I know he did commentary with WWE, but not often.
By the way, now, Shannon, I'm really hoping that your personal favorite team has a couple people in mind, because the more we talk about this, the more I'm remembering people. So.
Like,
don't say it.
Well, hold on.
Don't say it. Let him go.
Yeah, because my first instinct, I also liked Jerry King. Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross. That, to me, is growing up, was because I was too young to remember some of them.
Right.
But that was the most iconic to me.
Yeah.
But my personal favorite, I really almost said Eric Bischoff. Heenan and Mongo McMichael, just because I loved WCW so much, and I love those guys at it. But I also wanted to say Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura.
That's a good one.
I
want
to say Vince McMahon and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
I knew you would go classic. That's what I was hoping for. And I was thinking, go ahead.
Well, say my absolute favorite, the guys that I cannot, like, I will not miss, is Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain.
Yes!
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's what I was waiting for you to say, too.
Yep.
I mean, oh, man, so good. Bobby Heenan is the greatest heel commentator of all time.
Oh,
and Gorilla Monsoon, even though a lot of the times I couldn't understand what the fuck he was talking about, and I don't think he did either.
But they did.
But he sold it, man.
Yeah,
he made you believe.
He was into it.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Bobby Heenan might be the greatest heel of all time. Let's just put it out there, man.
In my mind, when it comes to heel managers and heel commentators, Bobby the Brain Heenan and Paul Heyman are on a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah.
There's no one that even comes close.
A bunch of pencil-neck geeks.
Freddie Blassie.
Oh, God, I love Freddie Blassie.
There were so many good ones, but that commentating team was insanely incredible. And when Gorilla Monsoon passed away, And Bobby the Brain Heenan was already on WCW at that time.
Yep.
He broke the news. And, man, you could just see just the heartbreak on his face. Like, he loved Gorilla Monsoon so much, you know?
And it was actually Gorilla Monsoon that helped me realize how I want to be a commentator. Because he was in an interview, and he's like, there's always got to be a beginning, middle, end to how a match goes into commercial.
Right.
And he's like, you have to know how to say certain things. Like, when a babyface rolls out of the ring, he's getting away, or he's
taking a break.
Recovery.
Yeah. Smart move.
When a heel runs out, he's being a coward. Yeah, you got to learn how to differentiate that. And I was like, I never noticed that until he told me.
Mm-hmm. Every commentating team now does face heel. That's how that works. Face for the good. Face is the lead. Heel is the color guy.
Right.
And they, to me, they got that from Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. A lot of people say Gordon Solie is the greatest wrestling commentator of all time, or that Jim Ross is, because they're both amazing.
Yeah.
But for me, Gorilla Monsoon.
That was the
guy. The look, the fact that he was a wrestler, you know, everything is matched together. My fantasy of who would be the best if I could put them together, I don't even know.
I can't even be really excited.
I would say, as crazy as this is going to sound, especially if you could have done this in the late 90s, 2000s, Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff. Ooh. If you could have put them together and had them talk about the stuff side by side. Because Bischoff, everyone says Vince McMahon was the greatest heel, one of the greatest heels of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Eric Bischoff was just as good.
Yeah.
On WCW with the NWO, Bischoff was the smarmy son of a bitch you just wanted to knock out, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think you take Vince McMahon and put Eric Bischoff as the color guy, the heel color guy.
Right.
Fireworks.
That'd be that'd be pretty good. And if only because you could hear Eric Bischoff call a back leg high kick one more time. You know, his karate expertise, and he doesn't know.
Well, he was trained by the cat, remember?
Back leg.
Literally.
A back leg. I've never heard of a high kick.
That was Bischoff.
I've never heard of that fucking
classic
move.
Call. It's kind of an old wrestling meme in a way. The back leg high kick.
Wouldn't that be?
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
If you have a back leg, then you're a horse.
I mean, I'm thinking of your back leg because when you do a roundhouse kick, you come from the back leg.
And I think that's probably what he meant.
See, well, then, I was going to say, you and Bischoff are on the same level. But in general, when it just gets thrown out there.
Congrats.
I can't believe, by the way, we're right at the hour mark, but I feel like before we stop talking about commentary, we should at least make mention of going to the pay window.
Dusty Rhodes. Yeah. Shotgun Saturday Night. What the hell was their show called? Son of a bitch.
Saturday Night Main Event.
No, the main event was WWE.
Yeah.
What the hell was it? I can't think of WCW's Saturday show.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I feel like the worst wrestling fan of all time right now.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad, too.
Saturday. What the fuck?
It wasn't Saturday's main event, because that's WWE.
All right, Zach, while you're looking this up, I'm going to tell you what my... Please look it up.
Yes. Okay.
The worst commentator of all time is JBL.
Ooh.
Because every time I listen to it, and it's not his fault. It is not JBL himself that is bad. Mm-hmm. It is what Vince McMahon tells JBL to say.
Right.
It goes back. They're trying so hard to go back to that heel commentator.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally he'll break the heel commentator and he'll talk about, you know, what?
I found it.
What is it?
WCW Saturday Night.
No wonder we couldn't think of it because we already thought of it.
We were trying to create something that wasn't
that's
there.
That's right. Well, that's JBL. It's a great way to sum him up, too, because it feels like every time that he starts going off on some big rant, like you said, obviously, it's Vince McMahon who's talking in his ear and telling him what to do. But, like, it's almost like he's trying to create catchphrases that are never going to catch on. And you remember Booker did this for a while, old shucky-ducky, quack-quack.
Yeah.
But JBL constantly, we got us a flying blank. You know, if it's Dan, we got us a flying goat. If it's the Usos, we got us some flying Usos. Like, dude, stop.
It's always flying, though, isn't it?
We get it.
I'm just saying that reminded me, no one said Mike Adamley.
Who's the... Yeah, but man, he almost is like a guest commentator.
He's like a character of a actual commentator. Yeah. He was the guy that...
Jeff Harvey. He was the idiot who didn't know anybody's names. Oh, shit. The ECW revival. So
yeah, he replaced Joey Styles. He replaced Joey Styles.
Yeah.
And he called Taz.
No, he didn't.
He called Taz the Taz.
The Taz. Let's see. Jeff Harvey. What else did he say? Was he the one that screwed? No, Jeremy Piven screwed up SummerSlam and SummerFest.
Did you say John Cena?
No,
but Mike Adamley was widely regarded as the worst of all time. But
and then they kind of turned it into a character, and it was sort of okay, because at least I felt funny. Like they meant to do it on purpose.
But JBL's like not funny.
No.
I find him hilarious.
Adamley is like that idiot real quick who trips in the street and is like, no, I'm just dancing. I'm cool. Don't worry about me. Like, but JBL,
I don't know. I can sit there and watch a show, and he'll say something funny, and I just can't stop laughing.
My problem with JBL is he'll, like, Seth Rollins is in the ring, and he'll say, you know, Seth Rollins will do something really despicable to win or something. Yeah. And JBL was like, what are you talking about, Cole? That's how you get a victory. That's a great champion. But then in the very next segment, Daniel Bryan will come out and say, I'm retiring because of injuries. And JBL will say, that's a great man right there. He loves his family. And
There's no consistency,
JBL. Because if you're a heel, be a heel.
Heels and faces don't matter, and wins and losses
don't matter. But he's funny. But he's
funny. Like I said, it's not that he doesn't have natural charisma. He does.
Sure.
It's Vince McMahon. All of the problems in wrestling go back to Vince McMahon.
Son of a bitch.
You're the motherfucker of the week.
There you go.
No, actually, let's end this off. Zach, you had a motherfucker of the week you want to talk about.
So yesterday I had a doctor appointment, right?
Yeah.
Like on the second, I had a doctor appointment.
There was no segue out of wrestling, by the way.
No, there wasn't, because I'm just so mad. I'm still
so pissed.
And it got worse this morning. And the doctor appointment was yesterday.
Uh-oh.
1:50 was my appointment time. No, I can go back even further than this, but I'm just going to start with yesterday. Because it's a long story.
Oh, God. Apparently, how much time we got?
We're at 1:05.
All right. Keep it under 1:05.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry. We're at 1 hour and 5 minutes is what I'm getting at.
Keep it under 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Okay. No. So had a doctor's appointment, had to get this thing done for work. It was a long process to get to the doctor's appointment to get it in. And I get there. My appointment's at 1:50. I'm there at 1:30. 1:35, they call me back. I'm like, cool, I'm going to be in and out. Nobody's in the waiting room but me. I get called back, and it reminds me of, like, the Seinfeld. They say they take it from the big waiting room to the small
waiting room. Right.
But I went from I skipped the small waiting room, went to the doctor's office, like the actual patient room. Yeah. Right. I was in there 5 minutes after my appointment. 2:15 is when he finally shows up. An hour and a fucking half, however extra long it was later. I'm fucking pissed by this point.
Yeah.
He comes in. I see him for like 5 minutes, and he tells me, you gotta get blood work. I'm already mad because I gotta come in and fucking do this and wait forever.
Right.
He's like, yeah, come in tomorrow morning. We'll take care of your blood work for you. He's like, you can come in tomorrow morning, or you can go to St. Francis Southeast, wherever it was. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll see you in the morning. It's fucking July 3rd. Everybody's fucking closed. Why the fuck didn't you tell me that?
Because that's why.
Wait, do hospitals close?
Yeah, no, not hospitals, but the fucking doctor's office.
Oh,
and yeah. So I fucking got up early to go get fucking blood tests so I wouldn't be late for this fucking show. I go to the fucking office, and it's fucking closed after I said, I'll see you tomorrow. Then I drove across town, and I'm like, I don't know why I'm driving across town. Nobody else is fucking open either.
God damn it, motherfucker. I like to point out that Zach went in the entire hour, kept cussing to a minimum, and then he was just a straight up commentator, and then in the last 5 minutes dropped more F-bombs.
I feel like we got to go back and edit to like insert a, okay, you know, if you've enjoyed the podcast to this point, stop
please turn it off.
Yeah. All right. So, if you're a personal friend, stick around for
So who's the motherfucker of the week? Doctors?
No, my fucking doctor. Because I saw him had to wait an hour and a half, and then I said, see you tomorrow. He's like, okay, cool, I'll see you in the morning. It's fucking, you're not going to be here.
That guy, when you turned around, he was giving you the Cesaro. He was double burning it right up behind your back.
A quick story to end on that, because you said that. We were at Gaming Grounds, and this kid comes up, and we had a guy that used to work there named Ed.
Yeah.
Ed was kind of a bigger guy, you know, stocky. He's lost a lot of weight since then. Congratulations. Good job. Probably on the keto diet. This kid walks up to him, and he's asking us about, hey, you know, games. I want to get a game. And he says, this is a punk-ass bitch kid. And he says, I don't want to get no game. I mentioned Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't want to play no game where I just look at somebody's tits all the time. And he looks at Ed and says, well, I guess you can look at your tits whenever you want.
What?
Yeah. So I told the kid, I said, I'll tell you what, man, because Ed was pissed. I can see it in his face.
Oh, I'm sure.
I said, I'll tell you what. If you can beat this game tonight and bring it back tomorrow, I'll give you your entire money back. It'll be a free game for you.
Yeah.
He goes, okay, deal. He takes it. It was, I think it was the day before New Year's.
Yeah.
And we weren't open the next day.
Nice.
Didn't it snow?
Well played.
And I came back 2 days later, and the kid walks in, and he goes, you know how far I had to fucking walk to get to the store, and you weren't open? And I'm laughing my ass off.
Well played, sir. Yeah.
So thanks, kid. You're the bitch of the week. You're the bitch of the month. We got a selfie coming up here.
Show selfie happening.
All right, there we go.
It's fuzzy.
Okay.
Oh, we can
the audio is so quiet when we do this. Yeah. We got to keep talking. No, we can't shut up. We got to talk. We're doing a podcast.
Okay, there we go.
There we go. Post it this time. We never get to see a post.
I'll
post
it. I feel like you're just keeping these things and looking at them.
So, dear listeners, thank you for listening once again. Yeah. Thank you, Hunter. Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, man.
Have a happy 4th of July.
Do so, and do so safely.
Do so safely.
Do so fucking quietly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good plan, that, too.
Do it on fucking
Actually,
4th
just
of July.
Don't fucking do anything. Just don't do anything.
I don't mind you doing it on 4th of July, but don't do it fucking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That. All that up to fucking...
No, just stay home and drink a Barks.
Kick back, watch some wrestling. Watch some wrestling.
4:30 in the morning on Saturday.
Watch a Kurt Angle marathon.
Beast from the East. Oh, yeah, you can do that, too.
Or Lex Luger.
Or Lex Luthor.
Man, it's, you know, it is a shame before we get out of here that WWE won't do a Kurt Angle, like special on 4th of July. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, you can see him anyway.
Do Hulk Hogan. He's a real American.
That would work, too. They'll probably do that anyway.
God bless you, Hulk Hogan. Happy birthday.
That's right.
You're 400 and something today. So, thank you, listeners. We'll see you again on Sunday, probably. Have a good 4th of July. Have a good weekend. And have fun.
We're out.